As we turn to our scripture reading, I invite you to rise if you're able. And I'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said this, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So I grew up in a family that was and still is big on playing games. Every year we would get at least one new game for Christmas and add it to our overflowing game closet. In the summers and on any school break, my sisters and I would gather around the table and play game after game, some inside, some outside, double solitaire, spit, war, pinochle, scrabble, monopoly, backgammon, encore, trivial pursuit, etc., etc. You get the idea. While we played, we would talk and laugh and bicker and fight, as siblings do so well. We'd win and lose and start all over again. Each game has its own set of rules and instructions, its own end goal and purpose, often to finish with the most points or the most money. Today we're kicking off a new 5-week sermon series called The Well-Played Life, where we'll delve into one game each week to see what life lessons are taught through the game. And then we'll hold them up to our scripture readings to see how they line up. Today, we open our series with the game of life. The goal in the Milton Bradley game of life is to make it to the end with the highest accumulated value. Your wealth might be in cash on hand, invested in your real estate, or collected through life tokens, which represent random acquisitions of money along the way. Different choices or strokes of luck determine how much you are able to accumulate. Did you choose to go to college or to start working right away? What kind of career did you end up with, and how much did you make? How many kids do you have, and how many spaces along the board did you land on that added to or subtracted from your overall wealth? There's paydays and insurance, stocks, investments, lawsuits, and even wagering on games of chance. Did you know that the original version of this game was called the Checkered Game of Life? And it was first released in 1860 by Milton Bradley himself. Instead of spaces on the board that you'll find in today's version, like get in a car accident, or car is stolen, or adopt a cat, the original game had spaces like disgrace, ruin, cr- crime, prison, and even suicide. Sounds like a cheerful game, right? No matter the specifics of the spaces, being a winner in the game of life is all about finishing first, having the most money, retiring to the millionaire estates rather than to the countryside estates. You hear the life lessons integrated and woven all throughout? The sad thing is, many people think that this is what real life is all about, too. That to be a winner in real life, a person must achieve these same goals: possessions, power, position, prestige, to retire to the right place with the right amount in our account. And our culture, with its sleek advertising campaigns, is only too quick to reinforce this kind of thinking. The world tells us that the winners are those with status and clout, people with the biggest house, the fastest car, the most money, the strong ones, the beautiful ones, the skinny ones, the young ones. Whether we like it or not, as a culture, we've bought into this board game mentality of life. After all, who doesn't want to be considered a winner by those around them? But instead, we all lose as we struggle to keep up with the Joneses. In James Carse's book, Finite and Infinite Games, he describes two kinds of games which reveal different ways of approaching life. He said there are finite games and infinite games. Finite games have fixed rules, known boundaries in which the game is played, a board, a field, a time limit. The number and identity of the players is known. There's a winner and there's a loser. The object of a finite game is to win. And when someone wins, the game is over. Infinite games, however, are different. There may not be rules, and if there are, they often change throughout the game. The playing field is boundless. There's no time limit. The players are numberless and often unknown. The object of an infinite game is not to win, but to keep playing, to keep the game going without a goal, or with a goal, excuse me, much bigger than winning or losing. Now, there's nothing wrong with board games, nothing wrong with Milton Bradley's The Game of Life, but we need to remember that these are finite, and our real life is infinite. The decisions we make in life don't go away after an hour of play, but can have long-term effects on us and those around us. You don't win parenting. You don't win your marriage. You don't win your friendships and relationships. You don't win your career. You don't win your life, your love, your faith. Real life deals with the infinite. You take one day at a time and you remain present. You grow and you step into the infinity of this life and the eternal life to come, whatever you conceive that to be. The desired and the unwanted are all parts of this life, the good and the bad. We take it all at the same, with the joy and the sorrow, and we keep going and we keep growing. It's about becoming fully alive, becoming our truest and most authentic selves, living faithfully with the life we've been gifted and sharing what we can with others. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus is leading us to live this infinite game of life. Through his teaching and parables, his admonishments and invitations, he is trying to help us see the bigger picture, that the meaning and end goal of life is not found in accumulation of possessions or power or prestige. Rather, it's found in faithfulness to God and living out God's love. In our gospel reading today, we hear the story that is lovingly titled as The Rich Fool. It's about this landowner whose fields have produced so much that instead of giving it away or even selling it for a profit, probably when the markets are flooded and profits would be low, he decides to tear down his barns and store it for later, keeping it for himself. Little did he know he would die. And after the construction is completed, he doesn't get to benefit at all. Jesus reminds us through this rich fool that in the infinite game of life, the goal is not accumulation, but it's about what you do with what you have and the relationships you build with God and others along the way. Just a few verses later, beyond our reading today, Jesus says, "Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." As we go about our lives this week, I invite you to reflect on all of the moving pieces that make up your infinite game of life. Your education and career, your family and possessions, the choices and chances you encounter along the way. And I invite you to give thanks for the gifts all around you. Not to take a single thing for granted. Rather than always focusing on bigger, newer, cooler, more, allow Jesus to guide you, to place your attention and treasures where they really matter, in loving God and loving others, building relationships, and serving. May we play this infinite game of life with this higher goal in mind. For if we do, we will all come out as beloved and blessed winners in God's eyes. Amen.